Getting Past Being Joe Blow Neo Pro by Tobias S. Bakel, as read by Alex Wilson. Number 5. Take It Up a Notch. Earn Your Artistic License. Joe Blow Neo Pro has been working hard almost every night now for the past year, sitting down to write as often as he can. He's been doing his research, submitting as many stories as he can, and has even gone to a few conventions and politely met people. Yet he's still stuck in a lull. 300 rejections and still not a single sale since he first broke into Amazing Fab Stupendous Stories. You can bloody well stuff your work ethic, your apprenticeship model, and anything else, he mutters. But we're not done with poor Joe. He still has another important piece in the approach to the puzzle, challenging himself to become a better writer. Because submissions alone, wordage alone, is not necessarily enough. The idea behind writing so much is not just new material, but improvement. Whoa, I'm not suggesting Joe is a bad writer, just that he's going to always have to be aiming higher in order to finally get over the bar. Maybe he is okay, but Joe is in the slush mix with hundreds of other okay pieces. Even if he has sold a piece or two, that is not an automatic guarantee he'll sell again. Those editors and magazines don't owe him anything more than the stories they already bought or haven't. He has put in the work and will put in lots more. That is only paying dues. Okay, yes, some writers might be getting substandard stories published just because they're a big name. They've got readers waiting for that story, though. Does Joe? Right now, someone is auctioning off J.K. Rowling's scribbled notes from her fifth book. It is expected to get thousands. Is anyone so entranced with Joe's grocery list they're willing to pay anything? Didn't think so. So until someone is willing to do that, Joe has got a lot of proving to do to the world. He has to build up his readership to the point that they will want to read his scribbled notes. Maintaining a determined but positive attitude here will help Joe more than spinning into a cynical cycle of denial that begins with nasty words about people not understanding his work and claiming they're all against him. Let's not be that person. Let's take that energy and roll it into getting better. Aim higher. The first challenge Joe should embrace is in the decision of where he sends his manuscripts. After 300 rejections, it can get discouraging to keep submitting. It's expensive, depressing, and hard to keep sending stories out there. One of the first reactions is for Joe to lower his sights. He has just finished his latest story, but he knows in his heart it isn't worthy of the magazine of fantasy and science fiction. True, he's heard editors on panels say not to prejudge a manuscript, but really, he can't kid himself any further. Sending this is putting down $3 for it to come right back. Oh, there's a new zine just opening up, he hears. Doesn't pay more than a couple bucks, but this one has more of a chance there. Let's not argue with Joe. Let's instead present a number of positive reasons why it's a good idea to send his story to the best possible magazine he can imagine for it. First, it makes him write better stories. If he begins to send his stories to lesser markets, he begins to get into the habit. If he's always thinking about this when actually writing, he may get into the trap of thinking, well, I don't have to work that hard. They're only zine XYZ. Or even, I'm only getting a single dollar for this. I can just brush the story up quick before emailing it in. On the other hand, if Joe is in the habit of expecting to send his story in to top-tier magazines, he might push himself that much harder. Second, getting published in a top-tier magazine gets Joe more notice. Anthology editors see his name. Other editors become aware that someone else considers Joe to be a good snag. It increases his chances elsewhere if his story is almost good enough and needs just a little something to tip it over into the sold category. Third, Top-tier magazines usually have a much larger readership. Joe's business is to build himself a readership, and getting published in top magazines is one of the best ways to do this. Fourth, Joe gets positive reinforcement. Getting published in a top-tier magazine enforces that he needs to work hard at his craft. He doesn't have to justify his sale to other writers or wonder about if he should have done it. It's there. The money from the sale is also a nice reward. Fifth, his story gets the presentation it deserves. Joe has sweated over his story for many weeks. It deserves a chance to be illustrated and on glossy paper, not photocopied and irregularly stapled over. Sixth, Joe's story may get better time with an editor. This goes contrary to what many believe. At a top-tier magazine, the editor is often a paid position, whereas lower magazines use volunteers. There's nothing wrong with volunteers, but Joe is hoping to become a professional, and having his story looked at by professional editors is a good thing. And most top-tier magazines have copy editors that catch some of those typos that may have otherwise been glaring at the other zine that doesn't pay and that Joe almost sent his story to. And seventh, it comes down to what sort of company Joe wants to keep. Where are the amazing authors that he admires published? He needs to be between those same pages so that he can begin to develop a career much like those writers. Part of those writers' careers are selling stories to top mags. Therefore, Joe should be trying to end up on the pages next to them if he wants to be considered on the same plane as those other writers. How-to manuals. Sometimes following writing advice can be like the tale of a man, his son, and a donkey. Dad is riding the donkey to market and they pass someone who says, "It's horrible, that big man sitting on the donkey and the poor kid has to walk." So Dad gets off the donkey and puts his son on. Almost immediately they pass someone who says, "Look at that poor man walking, and his ungrateful son is just sitting on the donkey." Both son and dad get on the donkey now, and they don't go far before someone else says, "Poor donkey, two people sitting on its back." So they try both walking alongside the donkey, and that's made fun of. Tired of it all, the man and his son lash the donkey to a stick and pick it up, carrying it into town where everyone just laughs at them. How can anyone follow all the advice out there? You can't. Rudyard Kipling is famous for his aphorism, "There are 69 ways of constructing tribal lays, and every single one of them is right." But even with that in mind, there is nothing wrong with going out and creating a library of books on writing. What Joe should be looking for is things he hasn't thought of trying before, ideas and practices that other writers use that are adoptable. At the very least, Joe needs to try a number of different things to find out what is most effective for him. Finding books about how to obtain useful habits for success in other careers and considering how they might apply to writing is also a smart move. The more ways one can attack a problem, the higher the chance of success. Joe might also start seeing repeated pieces of advice throughout the books. These are golden. Bruce Lee reportedly read every book on bodybuilding he could find in the search of information he could use to develop his amazing physique. He kept notes on all the common threads he found throughout them. Workshops. There is all sorts of advice on and about workshops. They can often do a world of good. Joe can get feedback beyond a simple flat rejection. He sometimes needs to keep the donkey analogy in mind and figure out whether his story is about riding a donkey, or sometimes, in his rewriting a story after workshopping, he might find himself carrying one. A good workshop is worth its weight in gold. It can give Joe the energy and camaraderie he needs to keep going on lonely, hard nights of writing. It can start him down the path of networking, meeting lots of other writers and like-minded individuals. Going to some of the professional workshops around the country can help him a great deal. Clarions, Odyssey, Viable Paradise all come recommended by many graduates. By getting to meet professionals, Joe can learn firsthand about many of the habits, attitudes, and the work it takes for him to move into the field. The biggest piece of advice about workshopping is that people get out of anything what they put in. The attitude Joe brings towards any endeavor plays a significant part in the outcome. If he goes in expecting to work hard, learn a great deal by being observant, civil to the instructors and students around him, there is a high chance it will be a good experience. Reading. It is tempting to quit reading when in the formative phases of being Joe Blow Neo Pro. Reading just isn't as exciting as it once was, as Joe is always dissecting things to try and understand how it was once done. But a good writer should read, and read often, though some of the old innocence and enjoyment may be lost. The quickest way out of this is for Joe to go and read entirely away from where he is writing. This can help ease the desire to dissect. Writing hard science fiction? Then read some light humor. Another path is to fully throw oneself into the dissecting of a piece of fiction. Count how they break up their chapters. Check to see how they make their chapters. Are they scenes, cliffhangers, both? Copying scenes and short stories out of books to take a look at word choices is also excellent. Full immersion in another writer's words and techniques is a learning experience. Go for broke. Don't write for the market. Write at the level of the market and write for the story itself. Writing for the market is stale. It puts preconceptions on the story. Joe needs to get out as often as he can and write a story that teaches him new things as he does it. Kill the main character. Take a stance on a position he doesn't agree with. That might create some tension in the story that leaks through. Avoid the captain of the starship. Look on the opposite side of the spectrum. Is first contact about to be made? Suppose no one cared. He won't always succeed, but failure is a tool and a series of lessons in and of itself. Joe shouldn't write a story because that is what a market desires, or the workshop expects, or because it is easy on himself. Yes, another cyberpunk action-adventure story is fairly easy to knock off and gets his few thousand words in over the week. And it might be competent and have smooth copy. But will it stand out against all the other competent stories told in a similar manner? He's going to have to do what it takes to get up a notch because he's in there competing with a lot of other writers that the editor already knows, the readers already know, and who have been practicing and putting in their dues for quite a while. It's possible to do it, though, because every single writer that is in the pages of the magazines and books went through the same processes as Joe. They all eventually took it up a notch to get published. So can Joe. Tobias S. Bakel is the author of Crystal Rain. This recording was produced by Telltale Weekly.